Welcome to Teaching Restored, where we talk about the love of teaching the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Kevin Jones. And Julie is eating. We're not going to start this over, Julie. Sorry. We're going with it.
I've had the busiest day, and I needed some calories because I am going to take the lead on this discussion. I'm caloried up.
You're caloried up, ready. Well, you certainly are now.
Mm-hmm. I feel great. Okay. I'm actually really excited about this topic. So this topic came from my study in the Doctrine and Covenants the other day. I love this section because of a specific term that I want us to dive into today. So open up to section 50, and I want us to read a verse and then dive into what this specific term might mean.
Okay.
Okay. Section 50?
Yes.
Go to verse 10, please.
And now come, saith the Lord, by the Spirit, unto the elders of his church, and let us reason together that ye may understand.
I love the idea of reasoning together. So tell me, what do you think it means or looks like to reason together about something?
When I first read this just now, my mind went to what's the opposite? And How do we learn that we may understand? Typically, a lot of times, is just we are told. And it's interesting that it doesn't say just sit there and listen. It says be an active part of your understanding and reason. Okay. Reason together, as in give your experiences, give your knowledge, give your perspective, and let's try to kind of flesh things out. And where is this going to take us? This, you know, maybe this one topic, and maybe we can all be edified and go deeper than what we were before because of all of us that have added to it.
You just gave me like some great words in what you said. I loved that you described that your brain went to the opposite, which is to be told. So it's kind of like the idea of being an active participant versus being acted upon in a class.
Right.
So when we talk about reasoning together, it requires an element of active participation. And I loved what you said. It's where you feel like you want to, and you didn't actually say that word, but I'm going to say it, share your perspective and your thoughts and your ideas, where they have a place, I should say, where everybody's perspective, thoughts, ideas, understanding has a place and contributes to this kind of experience of fleshing something out. That's a good way, or fleshing. Is it fleshing or fleshing? Fleshing? When you flush.
Wow.
What's the expression?
E or you? I've heard it both.
But the idea, if I just mumble, people will just fleshing fill it out. In with their, fleshing out. That
that's good. Okay. All right.
So, and you said we. And you said, you implied like that this is something that can be done as a collective group. So how do we do this in class? How do we reason with people in class? Like, what is that? Kind of just describe what you're inviting when you are inviting reasoning together.
The first question that comes to mind that could be asked to help spur reasoning is, what does this mean to you? Or how do you interpret this? That way we start getting everyone's perspective and opinions on it.
So literally asking a question that invites what's in here or what's in here into the conversation.
Right.
So I've used this term before. It's a term from Crucial Conversations, but I love the idea of having this goal as a class to create this shared pool of meaning. Mm-hmm. And I think they call it a pool of shared meaning, meaning it's like meaning that's shared with everybody. But I think it's a shared pool of meaning, because it's kind of saying, here is what this means to you, and here is what this means to me, and we're adding it to this pool that we both now have access to.
Sure.
Okay. And so when you think about what something means to someone, it's kind of like, I kind of love the idea of the word meaning, because it is perspective. It's what you're asking mm-hmm. for, but it's not just how you see it. It's also why it's meaningful to you. And so you have to create an environment where people feel safe adding their meaning and not just their thoughts about something. Right.
Right. Right.
So I have this diagram, and I'll put it in a handout that we'll attach here, link to this. And it's a Venn diagram with two overlapping circles. And where they overlap, we kind of can call it this sweet spot, right? And when we talk about reasoning together, part of what we're trying to do is create this sweet spot that is an overlap of my meaning and an overlap of your meaning collectively, our meaning overlapping in this beautiful sweet spot.
Right.
And I love the idea of that in order for that to happen, I'm going to describe this really quickly. These two circles have to be a little bit transparent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which symbolically means flexible.
Okay.
So if you have one person's meaning and it is rock solid, not transparent at all, and you have another person's meaning, rock solid, not transparent at all, meaning totally solid color, and you overlap them, what happens to one person's meaning when the other circle overlaps it and they're not transparent? They're rock solid, set in their ways.
Well, there's no room for it.
There's no room for it. So this person, if I'm doing, I feel like I need slides, dang it. But anyway, I'll put this into something else. But it's the idea that this circle here actually ends up eclipsing the other circle. And so have you ever had that experience in class where someone is sharing their meaning and the way that they share it eclipses other people's meaning?
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Okay, so describe to me what that, what does that look like? What does that feel like? Share, kind of expand on that.
When I see it, I feel bad for the person who is eclipsed, because right. they just kind of got railroaded. They just got run over, and this is the way it is. And there was no discussion around, actually, maybe it could be something different, or, you know, maybe there could yeah. be a different interpretation or different meaning to it. And it typically involves one person saying, well, this is what it is, and we're done. Next. And you move on.
Kind of shuts it down.
Yeah.
Who usually does that?
Do you want me to give names? Just
no.
kidding.
No. Like, I was like, what? Oh, Kevin, no, that's not what
I'm just kidding. Oh, just kidding. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head who does that. But well, we all do. In, you know, to some degree, we may do that. But I would say that typically it's a teacher who does that to get to the next point a lot of times.
Okay. So alarms should be going off in our heads just a little bit, right? That mm-hmm. sometimes the way, even if we're saying with our mouths, I want us to reason together, I want us to have a conversation, I want to invite your meaning into this, that the way that we respond can actually have the effect of eclipsing someone else's meaning.
Good
like
point.
That we actually shut them down.
Sure.
Okay? So then the opposite, think about the opposite. And that's actually when we see you can eclipse somebody or they can eclipse you. Like it kind of goes both ways, but the idea is that it can be eclipsed. So now in order to not eclipse, what I described is that you have to have these two circles in order to see the beauty of that overlapping space between these two circles in a Venn diagram. The circles themselves have to be a little bit transparent. Like you have to be able to see through them just a little bit, right? And I mentioned that symbolically kind of represents flexibility. So what are we asking for if we are asking for flexibility in our reasoning together? Like, are we asking for people to compromise truth? Are we asking for people to, like, not speak their truth? Are we asking, like, how can we be flexible when it comes to something that's not that flexible?
Sure. Or maybe how can we be flexible when some people think it's flexible and some, and others don't? Others think it's a hard truth, right? There's a,
right.
There's a
specific absoluteness to it.
So I was at attended a different ward recently, and we were having a discussion in Elders Quorum, and someone mentioned something about truth and that Satan knows the truth and Satan uses truth for his evil purposes. And people are like, no. And other people are like, yes. And, and it just was, I mean, it started going back and forth. Well, let me show you how it's done. And the other person was like, well, no. And it almost turned into a, I'm going to be right. There was a right or wrong. I'm going to be right. Or the other person is going to be right, but it can't both be right at the same time. And so when we are not flexible, when we are not transparent, there is no room for, everyone's kind of trying to shut each other down, say, no, this is the truth. So what is the truth then?
Right. So, like, as you think about it that way, what you're describing, how in order for you to be right, somebody else has to be wrong, or kind of what you were describing in this specific argument, right? That there is this kind of, well, it can't, like, we can't both be right, so somebody must be wrong kind of thought or feeling.
Right.
I started thinking a little bit about how, you know, there is such a thing as absolute truth. I think that we believe that in, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We believe in absolute truth. And I think that one of the things that we sometimes forget is that we don't necessarily understand it. Like, that if we want absolute truth, like, we can get access to absolute truth, because who testifies of absolute truth, right? The Holy Ghost's job is to testify to us of truth.
Sure.
And so if we aren't flexible, we might miss an opportunity to actually learn truth because of the fact that we might think we understand it, but we don't have access to absolute truth without the help of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
An example of that, I'm not actually thinking of a great example, but I'll give you more of a thought example of, I don't
know,
whatever that,
I'm sure there's a good term for this,
but where a child knows something is true and the parent goes, yeah, that's true, but there's so much more to it.
Yes.
Right. And, and the child is like, it's either this way or this way. And you're like, actually, so you're right. But if we dived a little deeper, then we would know that there's a little bit more subtlety to that than we think there is. And we may not understand the whole thing, even when you think that you're right. So,
I
wish I could think of a great example of that, but off the top of my head, I can't.
I think, but what I hear you saying is super valid. And what you're saying is that sometimes we take truth and we put a pretty little bow on it and think that we get it. And then we learn something else and we're like, oh,
how does that fit in?
How does that fit in with what I put? Where, here's my box.
I already put the bow and wrapped it and put a tag on it. I don't want to undo that.
Undo that, and we're not really willing. And I think that basically the request or the ask is, in order for us to be able to reason together and not eclipse other people's meanings and also not eclipse the spirit that is part of this reasoning process, we have to not put bows on things. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to recognize that there is still so much more for us to potentially understand. Like, we just don't know what we don't know. And we need to be open to that idea. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yep. Okay.
So
I actually came up with a quick example.
Okay. I want to hear it.
Okay. Hear it. And this just came up. So, and I've mentioned this in a previous episode before, but if we ask one of the youth or ask a child who passes the sacrament, they would say the deacons do. Do any girls pass the sacrament? No, that is true. However, it's not quite true. It's because the females pass the sacrament just as much as the males do. I mean, that is right. They pass it to each other. That's happening down the row. We pass it to each other. It just happens to be the deacon's responsibility to take it from the table to a person. And that's not defined in scripture even. That's just current policy. So could it be different? Yes, it could be different actually, but that's not the way it is right now. So yes, it's true, but not maybe for the reasons we're thinking. So that could we could have a bigger discussion around that rather than just having a yes or no, that's the way it is, period, we're done.
Right. And think about so much of what has happened in recent years. Like, there's almost been this tsunami of change, right? When it comes to the church.
Right.
And if we have put bows on things and assigned meaning to things that then change, that can rock.
Yes.
Our testimony. Like, that could be earth shattering for us.
It's happening. Right. It's happening all around us. Yeah.
Right. And so that, even that very, like, using what we just barely said about how this lack of flexibility and putting bows on things can actually have a detrimental impact. Think about now the value in reasoning together. So when you think about this reasoning together, it's a practice in flexibility. It's a practice in being open-minded. And I'm not talking about open-minded in like the worldly sense. I'm talking about being open to the idea that you don't know what you don't know. Being open to the idea that there are different ways of looking at the same thing, that people can see something different when they look at the exact same thing. And so that, if we're reasoning together and we're talking about this in, you know, a teaching setting, for example, we as a teacher do not need to feel threatened or unraveled or something by a comment that doesn't necessarily align with the point that we're trying to make. Or we don't need to, even if somebody says something that we're like, false doctrine, false doctrine, false doctrine, you know, alerts are going, we don't need to be freaked out. Like, we can talk about things if we are in the practice of reasoning together and not feel like things are going to fall apart or I've got to shut it down and eclipse what they're saying because, you know, it's scary to me. Or anyway, as I was thinking about that, part of what we also need to do is when we come to a class, we need to give people enough credit to think that they have reasoning to add. I think that sometimes we're like, oh, I'm sure nobody read what we're going to be talking about. Or with the youth, we're like, well, I got to explain it all so that they can, well, no, like, no, 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 no. Give people enough credit when you walk into that classroom to think that they have some reasoning to add to the discussion. So is that fair? I'm just kind of making that point.
Because that's beyond, did you read the lesson or did you read the material for today? It's taking, what did you think about that?
Yes.
How did you interpret that? And that could go, and everyone has an opinion, whether they read it or not, they could still have an understanding or a perception of it that someone else doesn't have.
Yeah. Go in assuming people have something to add. That's part of this idea of wanting to reason together. So let's go to another verse really quickly. Part of this process, like, this is a process that takes some practice. And you will hear me talk about this until I'm blue in the face, that our responsibility as teachers is to respond appropriately when somebody adds their reasoning. Okay, we will eclipse, we will shut it down, we will offend, we have the opportunity to do a whole bunch of really not good things in the way that we respond to other people's reasoning, especially if it doesn't make sense to us.
Sure.
So I want to read this guidance in section 88, verse 122. There's just this little bit of guidance, and it's super basic and it's super awesome. So do you want to read that one? Do you have it?
Yep.
Okay, 88:122.
Appoint among yourselves a teacher, and let not all be spokesmen at once, but let one speak at a time, and let all listen unto his sayings, that when all have spoken, that all may be edified of all, and that every man may have an equal privilege.
Okay, what stands out to you when you read that verse in light of what we've been talking about? Is there anything that kind of sticks out?
The word all was used five times. Yep.
Yeah. Are there any other words that kind of go along with the word all? There are a couple of other words.
Every man.
Yeah, every.
Every. Right? And then
what about equal? So, so read that again, read that verse again, and kind of highlight those words, if you would.
Appoint among yourselves a teacher, and let not all be spokesmen at once, but let one speak.
Pause. Let not all be spokesmen at once. So what are we talking about here? Like,
we're not talking over each other.
We're
allowing each other to speak.
Yeah.
Rather than getting in each other's way.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Like, be respectful, right? And does that, here's something. How do you feel if you're in the middle of saying something as a teacher and people are like
raising their hand real high?
Yeah.
I want to get your attention.
In the middle of your thought.
Yes.
In the middle of your thought. This is almost an interruption.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like, so if somebody else is talking, I know you might be so anxious to make your point, but like that in the middle of what they're saying is not the time to raise your hand. That's like an interruption.
Right.
Because you're not actually hearing their whole thought before you have your thought. Like, you got to hear the whole thought before you have your thought. Because sometimes,
and I got to shut you down because I need to say something about that right there.
I got to say it. It's going to fall out of my brain. I got to say it right now.
Yep.
Okay. So sorry. That was a little bit of a tangent. Please keep going. I just had to make that point while we were on that. Okay. Keep going.
All right. But let one speak at a time, and let all listen unto his sayings.
Pause. So this isn't talking about everybody participating necessarily. What's this talking about? Like, it's not listening. Saying bring your reasons. Listening. Mm-hmm. Okay, so think about what that means. Think about what it is saying here. It isn't just your participation is not just what you have to offer. It's not just your reasons, not just your reasoning. It's actually just as much your listening and being influenced. Like, truly listening means that you are trying to see something from another person's perspective. We're not just talking about hearing the words coming out of their mouth. We're talking about seeing what their meaning is. You're trying to see it from their point of view. That's what listening really is, right? Sure.
Right.
So
it's an active thing, not just a passive listening. It's an active listening at that point.
You are putting effort not into trying to disprove them, not into trying to come up with your reply. You are putting effort into hearing and understanding what it is that they have to say and why it's meaningful to them and why they see it the way that they do. Like, that is work. That is harder work than you having a good comment. right?
I like it. Yes.
Okay,
I agree.
So keep going. Sorry. I keep interrupting. I'm so rude. I'm the rudest.
Rudest. Mm-hmm. That when all have spoken, I thought you were going to
interrupt.
That,
so,
okay.
Yeah,
I'm not. That
I get,
all
I said in my mind.
And that's okay if you do, Julie. I have that habit too. So no worries. All right. That when all have spoken, that all may be edified of all. A lot of alls there. Mm-hmm. And that every man may have an equal privilege.
Okay. What is that one saying?
That all may be edified of all almost makes me think that there is no wrong answer, that everyone has something to give and we can learn something, yeah. Even if it may not seem like it, but we can actually learn from each person.
I love that. So that, like, there aren't wrong answers. There are people who see things differently. I mean, I'm not suggesting that false doctrine should not be corrected.
Sure.
But people's thoughts, their sincere thoughts on a subject, like, they should be welcomed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Does the word all kind of freak you out as a teacher?
Yes.
Like it's saying that all have spoken.
Yeah. How are you ever supposed to get a point across if everyone is talking?
Right? Dang it.
How are they going to learn anything if everyone keeps talking?
I know. What? How are they ever going to learn from me?
Right. Good assumption.
Right? Okay. So two lessons in this.
Two things.
First of all, you are not necessarily the person from whom they are going to learn. And this is a paradigm shift, right? That we have to think about. The real instruction comes from this reasoning together. But the second thing is, then your job is not just to be satisfied with the answers that the same people who always participate give and then move on. And then, oh good, they're participating again and helping move the lesson along. So if you know that that's the case, how does your preparation change if you're trying to get all to?
Yeah, it goes, the focus is, of course, you have to have content, but the focus isn't as much on content as it might be ways to get everyone to talk or get to elicit or at least request a response in there. Maybe not, we don't, of course, want to force it, but that's what our goal. Our goal isn't to get through the content. Our goal is to get their reasoning from them.
Yeah. And so, like, that shifts how you're preparing because you want to have enough content. So you've got to prepare plenty.
Of course.
And you're going to be eliciting the right conversation, like leading the right discussion, if you've really kind of assimilated what it is that the point of the lesson is, right? You've got to get so prepared that you can go in any direction. But part of what you're thinking about is, you know, I only hear from the same people. How could I get other people who I don't hear from to want to share their thoughts and ideas? And maybe you have to, like, change up your strategies and use small groups because there are some people that are uncomfortable speaking in front of the whole group. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you have to assign questions to certain areas so that, you know, you only have these three people that are going to be responding to that question. And then, oh, it's one of three, not one of 23 that are going to be, hey, will you guys just study this question for just a minute? I want to hear your thoughts. And you guys studied this question. And then I'm going to ask you to share with the class what you learned.
Sure.
Or kind of some of those strategies to help not just have the same people participating all the time, but to get more, I guess, more people involved.
Or maybe part of your preparation is to reach out, ask someone a question, and ask them to come prepared with an answer. That way it is very targeted and you can share the love that way.
Right. I love that. Like, give them time. So if you were to look at this and you were to say all are edified of all and every man may have equal privilege, meaning that everybody's insight really has value, is kind of part of how I read that. How would you diagram this verse? So you've got, like it says here, appoint among yourselves a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you've got, like, how are you going to diagram this? Like, if you could draw a picture of what this might look like, what would you draw? How does learning happen in, how does teaching happen? How does learning happen?
Okay. I would put the teacher. This is going to sound wrong, but play this little game with me here, Julie. I would put the teacher at the center, maybe as a square, and then put a whole bunch of circles for the other. So the teacher is the square, and then you've got all the way around, a bunch of circles all the way around the teacher. And let not all be spokesmen at once. That spoke to me because I thought of a spoke and wheel.
So you're creating a spoke and wheel.
So you're creating a spoke and wheel. That's right. And what's important here is not really the position of where everyone is. It's the flow. So it goes out to someone and back to the teacher and out to someone else and back to the teacher. Maybe just, if nothing else, to say, great, I love that. What about you, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so? And it's reflecting or deflecting it. Oh, that is a very amoeba-like drawing. Very good. Something like that, Julie. Yes, that. Those of you just listening, you've got to see the video. That's... Maybe we should make, episode clip that.
No, I'm going to poke holes in it. So don't.
Okay.
I'm going to poke, I'm not going to stab my paper. I'm going to poke holes in what you're saying.
Oh, okay. We'll poke holes in the paper too, if you want. That's fine.
Okay. I'll do that.
So the important part is kind of the flow of it going, and it can go from one to the other. That's not a problem, but it's there's a certain role that the teacher has, right? If all are spokesmen, which it says basically, but just not all at once.
Right.
Then there's a special role that the teacher plays that the others don't play.
Right. And so you have to, in this diagram, you have to illustrate that there is a special role that the teacher plays, right?
Correct.
So I think that's what I hear you saying is that, and it's not that it has to, I heard you say, it's not that it has to ping the teacher every time, you know, that it can go from student to student, but that there is kind of this facilitation that you play, right?
Right.
Okay. So it's not that I was trying to like set up a trick question or anything, I promise, but who is the real teacher?
The spirit would be the real
teacher. Okay. So how do you add that to the diagram?
Well, this would have to turn into a 3D diagram at that point.
Okay, so we have an
X, Y, and Z axis.
Okay. I can't draw in 3D.
Whatever. You didn't learn
I'm
that
in kindergarten? I'm a total slacker.
Yeah.
Okay. So it would have to be 3D. So tell me where are the arrows going? Like if you add the spirit to this, like is the spirit prompting the teacher and then the teacher feeding the students? Or is the, like you mentioned, back and forth between the teacher and the students.
So my thought is that if we have to put it in diagram form, it's a big circle around it all. And
okay, so like the spirit is kind of the big circle around it all.
Yep, the spirit is the big circle around it all. And it, okay. And it, in this sphere of the spirit, is the, I'm picturing a jelly-like substance that is the spirit, and each message goes through that jelly-like substance to everyone else, and it glows and...
Kevin, did we just get slimed by the spirit?
I think so. I think that's what that was. I'm telling you just what was in my mind. First reaction there. Massive. Never ask block. A question you don't know the answer to already, or how I'm going
to
answer it.
I'm trying to like diagram that, and that looked more like this, but I think that looks like planet Earth.
That does. And I don't, you're right.
Yeah, it's terrible. Terrible. Okay, so let me make my point, because I really was trying to kind of make a point that this is a little bit of a reframe. And I heard this in the Why Religion series. There's a limited series that they're doing on teaching. I've mentioned it a couple times. It's phenomenal. And one of the points that was made is that we have to remember that the teaching and the instruction and the learning and all of that, like we think of it as the teacher having responsibility for making all that happen. And the way that we facilitate the discussion is such an important part of that, and will be led and guided by the spirit. We talk about being in tune with the spirit. We talk about really inviting the spirit into our preparation. But what we don't often give a lot of attention to is the fact that what we are trying to do is create a vertical conduit between the student and the spirit. Mm. It's not a conduit that goes through us. It's right. Not that we are informed by the spirit and then disseminating what the spirit wants everybody to hear. Rather, we are trying to create an opportunity for these vertical conduits for every single student. So now, if that's the case, if we are trying to be in tune with the spirit and your XYZ axis, vertical conduit, whatever thing, it's harder to diagram. I was thinking of a triangle, a little too simple with arrows in every direction, whatever. But the idea is that now think about the value of reasoning together, right? So you have all of these people and your goal is to help people gain more access to instruction from the spirit and then bring those insights and edify mm-hmm. all, that all may be edified of all. And so how do you change your preparation and the questions that you ask to invite them to share that, like what they are learning through the spirit during the lesson? So
that's good.
I'm gonna give you a second to think about that answer for just 1 second. So be thinking about this. I kind of saw this happen the other day and I didn't really even know that it was happening. But like I was playing piano for primary, and then I came into gospel doctrine and it was too hot. I could not even make myself go in. So I stood in the door and there were no seats either. And so I stood in the door and it was so quiet and everyone was 100% focused. And I'm like, what is happening? And as I kind of listened, I realized that one of the things that the teacher built in to his lesson was an opportunity for every person to reflect on what they had just learned from each other and reflect on what they had just read. And so I heard him say at one point, and he did it in different ways, but I heard him say at one point, okay, now take out your phones, your piece of paper, and go ahead and write down the thoughts that are coming into your mind right now, since we just wrapped up that discussion of small groups mm-hmm. or whatever. Okay. So anyway, I want to hear your thoughts, this is what I'm trying to get at the fact that this constitutes a little bit of a shift, I think.
I agree. I was in a leadership training with Elder Bednar, and it was just after the adjustments had been made for ministering, et cetera.
Yeah.
And rather than saying, and I noticed this specifically, he said, rather than saying, okay, we made these adjustments, tell me what you've learned.
What do you think?
Yeah. What he said specifically was, what have you learned of the spirit? Or in other words, what did the spirit teach you as you have made these adjustments? That way you're focused on not just, oh, what did I learn? You're focused on, hey, what did the spirit teach me specifically? That's answered completely differently than a random, what do you think?
Right. So Because think about it. When you say, what do you think to someone, they go thoughts.
Yes.
When you say, what has the spirit taught you? Part of what you're saying is, let's reason together. What mm-hmm. has been meaningful to you?
Yes.
What does it mean to you? Why does it mean something to you? What have you like brought into your life, invited into your life and had an experience with? That's kind of what we're asking.
Right.
It's a much deeper question.
Right.
Right.
And so, I've tried to actually use that same thing. I tried not to say anymore. Since then, I've tried not to say, what do you think? Or give me your thoughts. It's what are you learning from the spirit? What has the spirit taught you? Things like that to make them go deeper than just their own basic thoughts.
I love it. I mean, it's one little tweak.
It is a little tweak, but it's huge. I love that.
It's huge. And it's intended to be like, and then you have to give people more time though.
Sure.
Like if you're going to ask that type of a question, you have to give people a little bit more time to reflect. You can't expect those answers, the meaningful ones, to just come in like 2 seconds. Like I asked and here we go. So you might even build in a pause. You know, hey, I want you to think about this for 30 seconds before you raise your hand. And then, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's not just, so, and then here's another thing. Like when we were reading that verse, I said to you, tell me what stood out to you. And so obviously I was asking for your thoughts, but I also, in a way, when you ask people what's standing out to you, part of what happens when you are inviting the spirit into a lesson is that certain thoughts will almost be like highlighted. At least that's how the spirit communicates with me. I feel like there are certain things that are highlighted for me, and it's going to be something different that's highlighted for somebody else based on what the spirit's teaching them and based on what their current experiences are. And so asking what's being highlighted for you is another way to kind of invite more. Okay. Tell me like, where are we going to go with this? Because like, what's the spirit teaching you? That's the direction we want to go in. We don't want to go in the direction that I necessarily want to steer the ship in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not up to me only.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be prepared to pivot based on, you know, what's relevant to you, what's meaningful to you, you know, what you want to add to this conversation.
I feel like this is almost a departure. You said this is kind of changing a paradigm, changing the way we maybe prepare or other things, but a departure from, again, what are your thoughts to what is the spirit teaching you? I just said that just a couple minutes ago, but it just hit me deeper as you said that it's we're not really looking for an intellectual response. We're looking for the spiritual response to that, even if that spiritual response is being relayed to you in the moment that you're saying it.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, we are trusting in the fact that there is a vertical conduit that is opening up during this. In the moment that you are teaching, that people are hopefully, like our goal is to help open up that opportunity for people to be taught, not by you and by your amazing insights, but to be taught by the Spirit. So then let me bring it full circle back to where we started. Think about the beauty of reasoning together. If what you're talking about is someone's meaning and my meaning, being open and receptive to other people's meaning, what you're trying to do is create an opportunity where things, meaning deepens, where insights are flowing, and then you're inviting all to be edified by all as you come to that sweet spot of sharing their meaning, your meaning, and finding where it can overlap. Like that is beautiful.
Yeah. The sweet spot.
Yes. I'm calling it the sweet spot, the Venn diagram.
Right. But you have that to be transparent place. Going back to the beginning of what you said, you have to be, you have to approach this differently.
Open.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, like you mentioned in the middle, this can be kind of scary for teachers, but we almost have to redefine what is the role of a teacher? What is your responsibility? And I love the thought that we are trying to tap into the direct conduit between a person and the spirit, and trying to get that meaning there, and then that person's meaning in there.
So that all can be edified by all.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're all tapping into that. That's good.
Yeah. I don't know. I loved the visual. And when he was saying this on the Why Religion podcast or whatever, mm-hmm. it just really struck me how important that process is. Not just the process of like reasoning together, but doing it in a way where you're inviting everyone to have their own spiritual experience and then bring that to the table, that to the discussion.
I like that. I think you and I try to do that in this podcast.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We each prepare something, and there have been times when we both hit end and we stop recording, we're like, I wasn't planning on going there. That's not actually what I was thinking of, but we went there and that was really good. And when, you know, I'll prepare something and I'll lay it before the altar, Julie, and I'll say, okay, this is what I'm thinking. And you bring in a whole different perspective. And I'm like, hadn't thought about that as well.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. And I like the way, and again, it could just be a turn of a phrase. It could be a whole brand new thought, a whole different perspective, but it could just be something really simple that makes a big difference in the way we think about things. Mm-hmm. And edify.
So we got to be open to it. Together, we got to be open to it.
And I love, these are the kind of conversations I love having with my kids.
Yeah.
It isn't just regular teaching again, right? We're with teaching restored, we're thinking of teaching in all, you know, aspects. Thank you. Yeah.
I got you.
Right. But when you have your kids and you're talking with them and you say, okay, this is what I'm thinking. What have you learned? And they bring something in, and it's not uncommon for them to bring in something that is very different than what us old timers are thinking.
And so let it have value. It has value. Be curious and be receptive, right?
Yes. Different way to prepare. I love that. Thank you. Well, very good. So go create this. Go tap into the conduit between the person and the spirit. I love that. I have a visual. Okay, this is kind of telling. Yeah, sorry. I have now another visual of Tron.
I don't have a visual of Tron.
I do. These light going straight up, and then we're tapping kind of sideways into that light. So that's visually what I saw when you said that. But really there is that conduit, and we're kind of going horizontally into that, and we're tapping into each of those, and it's being shared overall. You know, Tron or not, but that's just what I thought of.
No Tron, yes.
Yes, thank you. All right. Well, thank you for sharing this with us. And talk about this shared pool of meaning. Please comment back. What are your thoughts? What has the spirit taught you as you've listened and as you have taken these principles and some of the things that Julie and I have discussed, and you've talked to others about it? What has the spirit taught you? We'd love to know. Please share. TeachingRestoredGod.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you next time.